1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Very, very familiar portion of Scripture. And again, repetition causes you to learn. So I'm going to be repeating some things here. But it says, but let me also say this. When we talk about gifts of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the potential for these gifts to flow through you. And they probably are, and you may not have recognized that. I truly believe that if the Holy Spirit's in you, whether you're baptizing the Holy Spirit, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever, God is communicating with you. You just may not recognize it. So what we began to talk about last week is the gift of prophecy, which is simply God communicating with you. So God is communicating with you. But when we look at these gifts, what's called the gifts of the Spirit, which is a wrong interpretation to begin with, by the way. If you got a King James Bible, it says the gifts of the Spirit, and it lists these nine things. But the literal interpretation is supposed to be the manifestations of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit imply that's something that you keep and function in all the time permanently. The gifts of the Spirit listed in this portion of Scripture are not gifts, they're manifestations. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, there is the potential for the Holy Spirit to manifest this way in you at any given time. But it's not a permanent thing that you walk around in. It's very important to understand that. Now when we start to talk about fivefold ministry gifts, which we'll do next time I speak, but when we do that, we'll understand that they're a little bit different. But this is manifestations. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have the ability for the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life, in your spirit, and cause you to do these things. I'm not going to read this for the sake of time, but it lists nine gifts. And what we need to see is they can be broken down into three categories. Three of the gifts are revelation gifts. They reveal something. Three of the gifts are utterance gifts. They say something. Three are power gifts. They do something. So, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there is the potential because He's in you, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever. I know some people don't agree with that, but I'm telling you. He said when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide you into all truth. We showed that there's two different experiences. There is an experience where the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you when you're born again, and then there is a separate experience. But if the Holy Spirit is in you, then you have the potential to have these manifestations in your life, and you're actually having them, a lot of people, and don't realize it. So what we learned last week, we began to talk about the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, and being prophetic. What does it mean to be prophetic? Well, being prophetic simply means that you have learned to receive a divine communication from God through your spirit. What does it mean to be prophetic? It means God is communicating with you. Now, I got news for you. This is what I'm trying to say. I've really never taught it this way. But Pentecostals don't have the market on it. I don't care where you go to church. If you know Jesus, God is communicating with you. You may not understand it and may not realize it, but He is. And I'm not going to go back through everything that I taught last week, but I want you to understand He's communicating with you. So the spirit of prophecy, being prophetic, simply means you have an ability to receive a divine communication from heaven that did not come from your mind. It came from the Holy Spirit in your spirit. So you have an ability to do that. Now, how does He communicate? I'm going to go back through these because I really moved fastly through some things, and then we're going to get to where the freedom part comes today. But how does He communicate? Well, first of all, you have to understand that anything that you have in the natural, you have in the spirit. Your five physical senses, you also have those in the spirit. So how does God communicate with you? He communicates through your five senses. But what you have to understand is that when He communicates, it's not coming from your mind. It's coming from your spirit. But He uses your five senses, and everything that you have in the natural, you have in the spirit. You have natural ears. You have spiritual ears. You have natural eyes. You have spiritual eyes. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit communicating with you, what we're saying is He will use your natural things to communicate with you, but we're not realizing He's communicating. And see, I had this conversation, I don't remember, I believe it was with Morgan. But if you go to Morningstar, see, What happens is we spend our whole life not being trained that God's speaking to us. And when somebody says something about God speaking to us, we expect some big, huge thing. We're driving down the road and the earth begins to shake and the heavens open. And
my son.
And everything just vibrates. Well, see, that's not reality. God is constantly speaking. But because we're blocked by that mentality, we're missing it. So you go somewhere like Morningstar and they take 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids and they've not been programmed to believe that God doesn't speak. So what they do is they teach them to respond to His way of speaking, and they don't have to be deprogrammed. They get programmed to believe that God is communicating with me. That's a strong teaching anointing in here. See, so the point is, we've got to deprogram you. And now begin to reprogram you to the fact that God is communicating with you. I don't care if you don't speak in tongues or not. Sir, ma'am, God is communicating with you. And I did some things to show you that last week, but you have to understand He is communicating. And I believe that that's, if we raise children up to know that, see, I told you this before, I had an 8-year-old kid read my mail. They probably couldn't even spell the words they said over me. Why? Because they had been taught at a very young age that God is communicating. The Bible is not the only way that He communicates. Now he will never communicate anything to you that goes against that Bible, but that's not His only means of communicating. So God is communicating with you, and He communicates through your 5 senses. Anything you have in the natural, you also have in the spirit. So how is God communicating with us? I think I could do a seminar on this right here. I'm about to come back and teach all day. Number one, you got spiritual sight. Have you ever been driving along and all of a sudden just this little picture just flashed in your mind? You might have saw, I asked you this last week, have you ever just been driving along, somebody's name enter your mind or their face flashed before your mind and you saw them a few minutes later? Anybody ever had that happen? Hey folks, He's speaking. That's no accident. That was God communicating. The Holy Spirit through you was communicating, telling you, you're getting ready to encounter this person. So He speaks through our eyes. You not only have natural eyes, you have spiritual eyes. And these pictures can begin to come up in your mind. These flashes could be open visions like a movie, which is more detailed and longer. But I want you to begin to understand the basics of how He's speaking. Sometimes it's not even supernatural. Sometimes, I'm going to help you here. 90% of the time when something happens to you and your thought is, where in the world did that come from? It's Him. See, because you weren't even thinking about that person. You weren't even thinking about that event in your life. Yes, Lord, I'll say that. See, here's the thing. You may be going along and the Lord, you start thinking about something that happened to you. You may get in the presence of someone else. And when you get in the presence, when you're in their presence, a replay button hits in your mind. And you begin to have a picture come up on the inside of your mind of something that you experienced. I wonder why in the world. Okay, here you are, minding your own business. And you start to think about the divorce you went through. Oh, why'd that come in your mind? Possibly then, you got to start paying attention to these things. What's probably going on is the Lord is letting you know that the person you're with is possibly going through one, has gone through one, and He wants you to minister to them. He's communicating with you. It's quiet. See, you've got to understand how God communicates. And I believe there's going to become an increase of this in here. Some of y'all have been doing it for years, but you just didn't realize what was going on. You might be a person who's been abused. All of a sudden, you're in the presence of someone, and your mind starts to replay that. I need you to start paying attention. Because that's God communicating with you that maybe somebody in your presence needs to be ministered to on this level. So he speaks to you with your sight. He speaks to you with hearing. Most everything that happens here on Sunday morning comes through hearing. You see me pick up my phone often. Why in the world am I picking up my phone? God partners with Google. He's got a partnership. I mean, Google might have thought that the devil might have thought he got Google, but I'm telling you, God uses Google. It's the most wonderful thing on earth. Because in the middle of worship, God starts to communicate. And I hear something. I can't explain it to you. I just hear a scripture. Google. Boom. That scripture's there. You have spiritual ears. When something pops up in your mind, a word, a phrase, a scripture. Now, I hear you, Lord. There are some of you that for months you've been sitting in this service and scriptures come to you while you're sitting there. Can anybody say that happens to me? In worship, I start hearing scriptures. Well, guess what you're doing? That's what being prophetic is. God is communicating with you. And see, what we could literally do is what we did this morning. I could say, all right, who in here, something came up to you like that during worship? And then what happened this morning? What happened? See, we ought to shift out of something. That's why I ain't going to be in no hurry right now either. Folks, what you're witnessing this morning is New Testament church. This thing we've created in the West is not New Testament church, where you come and listen to one guy and nobody ever gets to say anything. You witnessed New Testament church this morning. It's the body releasing the word. Well, what's the purpose of him speaking if we never give outlet for you to speak it? So I'm helping you right now. I feel this in my spirit. Some of you just hear this, a scripture pops in your head. That's not in your head, that's your spirit. That's God communicating with you. It's what he's either saying to you or he's saying to someone else. Phrases. Holy Spirit will use a play on words. I'm telling you, he will. Just get over it. Okay, yes I will, Steve Thompson. He'll use something familiar to you to speak to you. You better hear this. Some of you are missing God. I feel such presence to teach. You're missing God. He can use what's familiar to you to speak to you. Even a country song. Even a commercial. Even a phrase. A movie. You don't realize it's him speaking. Why'd that pop into your head? Because God is saying. I can share that. I mean, we were in a prophetic time, about ready to die. Charlotte, North Carolina was the place God took us to kill us, murder us. But we're in this prophetic time, and the word did they see it? They see the movie? Well, anyway. There you go. This is it. So we're in Charlotte dying, supposed to be here planting a church. So what does the person see? For no reason at all, when Tony's standing up, they see the big clock on the movie Back to the Future. Well, see, if you don't get this teaching, you're like, get behind me, Satan. I'm trying to worship God. God was communicating. God was saying to Tony, go back to your future. Are you getting it now? Now, how is God speaking to you every day and you don't even realize it? Because you thought, what's that movie done popping in my head? What's that song done popping in my head? Now, you can need deliverance when a song pops in your head too. But I'm trying. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. Some of you are hearing God and don't know it. Stuff that flashes before your eyes. Phrases. Play on words. God will use a play on words. Oh, okay. Now watch that. So I'm in the presence of someone, and before my eyes flashes someone in a nursing uniform. What in the world? God is communicating. It's probably the person in front of you. He's saying, oh, this person has a healing in them. See, we got to raise up people that know how to function in the gifts of the Spirit and hear. And I really don't care if you speak in tongues or not. God's talking to you. Hearing a phrase, a still small voice. It can be an internal audible voice. It can be an audible voice. Sometimes it's more loud when he speaks. Number three, smell. I know this one's, we really have missed out on this one. But there, you have supernatural nose. God can cause you to smell, and when you smell, you know something is going on. Demons smell like sulfur. He could possibly cause you to start smelling sulfur, and you're like, my God, what's burning? No, he's telling you there's demonic problems with this person. Yes, we were in a meeting one time, and the head of the denomination we were in repented. And all of a sudden, people started going. People were going around all over the place looking like freaks. Going. They were smelling artificial flowers, doing everything they could. What happened? The aroma, the fragrance of the Lord came in because he was pleased because of the repentance. I was in a meeting with Bob Jones. Bob Jones, as prophets do, was the divine interrupter in chief. Worship's going. Everything's going on. Here's Bob waddling up. I smell gunpowder. No gunpowder in the room. He says, there's an assassination attempt planned for the President of the United States. We need to pray right now. I see your eyes opening up. God's communicating with you every day. But you think it's your pizza. Or I hear you, Jesus. I'll break that out right now, God. Or, see, some of you think you're not spiritual enough for God to speak to you. You got that old religious mindset, and you just think you ain't good enough. It's only special people. I break the mindset in this room right now that it's only special people God speaks to. He's speaking to you. He created you. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't have to be special. From birth, from the cradle to the grave, he is speaking to you, and you don't have to have a degree on a wall, and you don't have to even have a title. Nobody has to call you prophet or apostle, because you are his child, and daddy loves to speak to his children, and he is constantly speaking, but we don't see it. We spend our time coming to church to hear a preacher every Sunday when we could have been hearing the words of life 7 days a week. Hello, he's talking to you. Touch. You have the ability to receive revelation or communication from God through touch. A lot of times when I minister prophetically, I don't get a thing for people until I touch them. Now watch this. You touched them and something flashed in your mind, or you started having a memory of something that happened to you. Now what's God saying? Get behind me, Satan. I'm trying to pray for this person. Why are you bringing this picture to my mind? It's God. He's communicating with you. Touch. Dreams. I'll say taste. You can also, some people have a gift that when they have a taste enter their mouth, they know God is speaking about a certain sickness. Dreams. Dreams can be literal or symbolic. Impressions. The number one way God speaks and the Holy Spirit is communicating with you is through impressions. Nothing is said or seen. You just have an inner sense, an inner knowing. Now, I know it's going to be 80%. Have you ever just couldn't shake it? You just got this impression something is wrong with Bubba. I haven't seen Bubba in years. I haven't seen him in years. I went to school with him. But this, nothing said, nothing heard. But there's just this gnawing on the inside of you. Y'all looking at me laughing. I know I've hit one now. What is... I had to tie into the message right here. What's God telling you? Has that ever happened to you and you find out Bubba died 3 days later? What was God telling you? Yes, now I'll move on. See, what was God telling you? I love it when the Holy Spirit does this. Why was God having you feel that way? Here's why. Because the prophetic anointing is number one and first and foremost for prayer. 90% of what the Lord communicates to you is for you to cause something to happen or not happen in this earth. Well, I better move. That's what it's for. It's for prayer. Prophetic anointing is for prayer. I'm not going to go through all these. I'm going to move on in now to something. I'll do a video and talk about the rest of this, but I want you to get something. So prophecy is the ability to receive and communicate an immediate word of edification, exhortation, and comfort to another person. It's a divine download. And again, tongues do not come from your head, nor does prophecy. You might think it's coming from your head, but it's actually coming from your spirit. Now here's where you get into trouble. Anything that comes from your spirit's going to have to get through your thick head first. And that's where you can mess it up. Still got to pass through there at some point. Because even if God's showing me something, I have to deliver that thing, and it's got to pass through my mind. And the truth of the matter is, I can mess it up between my spirit and my head. There's three aspects to every revelation. There's the revelation, the interpretation, and the application. That's where this head gets in trouble. Was I really seeing something? Was God really communicating with me? Yes. But then you say, well, I did what? I mean, I know God showed me this, so I went out and did blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know whether I hear God or not anymore. Because I knew I heard Him and I acted on this. You missed one of the parts. You did have revelation. But it has to have interpretation and application. If you get revelation but you do not interpret it the right way, you'll be in a mess. If you get it and interpret it but apply it the wrong way. Here's a good one for you. His revelation will never go against His word. So what would you do this is a wild example, but what would you do if all of a sudden a picture came up to you and you saw you and Bessie married and you're already married? Now I'm going to tell you what a lot of people would do then. Could that possibly have been revelation? Yes. But they're thinking, well, I reckon God's telling me to marry Bertha. And guess what they do? They kick their own wife out, get a divorce the whole time, believing that God told them to do that. No, they missed interpretation and application. Could have been revelation. So you have to have those three parts functioning. But prophecy is the ability to receive and communicate an immediate word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now here's what I want you to see. When we go through these gifts, prophetic anointing utilizes the three revelation gifts along with the gift of prophecy. So when someone operates under a prophetic anointing, we'll see this later, but specifically prophets operate under these four things. But when someone operates under a prophetic anointing, they operate under those three revelation gifts: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So let me talk to you about those for a minute. What is that? So what does it mean to be prophetic? Not pathetic. Prophetic. Sometimes we have been pathetic at being prophetic. That's why I'm trying to help you. God's communicating with you. Please understand where I'm going with this. You could be the only thing keeping somebody dead. Communicating to you, you might be the only one that He's speaking to. And if you don't respond properly, then you could intervene in people's lives. So here's the thing. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Word of knowledge is this. It's the supernatural ability to know something. You don't know it in your head. You couldn't possibly know it. But Holy Spirit, God is communicating. He's causing you to know something that you could not possibly know. It's the Holy Spirit giving you insight into something that is currently happening, or something that has happened. Word of knowledge is usually something that is happening or has happened. Now, where do we see this at? The woman at the well. See, this is how we got started on this is we can't operate, we can't see a harvest until we have people that are functioning in gifts because we need laborers. Well, guess what Jesus was doing? He said, you have five husbands. You've had five husbands. Word of knowledge, something in the past or something currently going on. He said, you had five husbands and the one you have now is not your own. Word of knowledge. The prophetic anointing allows you to know something. Then we got word of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge properly. Knowledge is what's going on. The word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit or God communicating to you that something is happening. What benefit is that? So you can tell somebody, and when it happens, you can say, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I knew it when I told you." Word of knowledge really doesn't do much good. The prophetic movement has been built on word of knowledge. Everybody thinks they're great because they can know your phone number and know your email address and know where you live. They can give you knowledge. But see, there's a deeper level called word of wisdom, which is the ability to use knowledge properly. The word of wisdom is being able to tell you what you should do about what I have knowledge about. That God can give you and communicate to you exactly what to do to get out of your mess. Do you know He can do it with your car and your washing machine? I'm telling you. You just don't ask Him. The very minute things in your life, you could stop and say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, show me how to do this." Guess what will happen? There'll be some kind of, well, you can be working on something all day. And finally, after you get tired and cuss for 3 hours, kick the dog and cuss the cat, you stop and say, "Hey, Holy Spirit." And then something drops, something you hear in your heart says, "Do it like this. Just do it like this." And you're like, Holy Spirit can give you insight on how to deal with facts. Wisdom is the ability to know how to deal with facts. It's the supernatural ability to know what to do in a particular situation or circumstance. It's a revelation from the Holy Spirit about how to handle the knowledge and facts that we have about a particular situation. Here's what's going on, word of knowledge. This is what to do about it, word of wisdom. Now, I'm not going to read this for sake of time, but you know the story. I want you to go read the whole chapter of Acts 27, because it's filled with the word of wisdom. These guys go out on a boat. And guess what Paul gets? A word of wisdom. He says, "I perceive this ain't going to be no good trip, fellas. Big stuff's about ready to happen. Some of y'all are going to hurl. This ain't going to be a sweet trip, fellas." Word of wisdom. God is communicating something is getting ready to happen. But if you go look at Acts 27, he's got them both in there. Because not only is Paul functioning in telling him, "Hey, bad stuff's getting ready to happen on this boat. I don't know about you, but I'd kind of rather know bad stuff's coming. I don't know. This is a hard one to determine. You want to get blindsided, sucker punched, or would you like to know? Word of wisdom will let you know something's coming." So Paul told him, "This is going to be a bad trip, fellas." And then he said, The storm began to come, and then he said, "Hey, don't worry about it." What's my message about today? Prophetic anointing is for prayer. Paul said, "Hey, folks, some bad things are coming, but don't worry about it, because I prayed for you." The prophetic anointing is mostly for prayer, not to impress and get speaking engagements. For prayer. Now look at it. Go read Acts 27. That's what he told him. He said, bad stuff's going to happen. I don't want you all to be freaked out when it comes, because I'm telling you, it's ugly. So he told him it was coming. He prayed about what he saw was coming. And then he operated him and told him what to do to avoid, to not see calamity. That's how God wants to speak to you. Word of wisdom. Then we have, if we need anything on this earth, it's this last gift. The devil is going to begin to do miracles in the United States of America. And he probably already is, and people are sending their money to him. Mark my words. These churches that pick people based on their talent are opening the door for the devil. I don't care how good you can play the guitar. If you're not right in your heart, you're not coming up here. Why is that? Because what spirit are you operating under? The third aspect is the discerning of spirits, which again is a wrong word. The Lord has given me discernment. I can fix that. That's why I try to fix everybody's problems. I got discernment. It's not in the Bible. It's not the gift of discernment. It's the gift of the discerning of spirits. And the better word is not discerning, it's distinguishing. So this gift is a supernatural ability to know what spirit somebody's operating in. That's what it is. Is it the Holy Spirit, the devil, or flesh? Now, if we go look in Scripture, you go read this, Acts 16, read it. The woman is running around saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued to do this for many days. In today's world, baby, if a woman did that, she would be the head of our social media department, and she would be broadcasting how great we were all over Facebook, and she was filled with the devil and had to have him cast out. It's the supernatural ability to distinguish spirits. So she's running around saying the right thing. And Paul cast the devil. They cast the devil out of it. Come out! Actually, it says he started to get real agitated. You better listen. Have you ever been around somebody that's doing the right thing, but you're just as irritated as you can be? Something inside you says, "I am going to smack that person silly. I don't understand this." Distinguishing of spirits. That's what it is, distinguishing of spirits. It's the Lord's communicating with you what spirit they're operating under. And see, we got people filling pulpits that are filled with devils. And we pay them our tithes and we talk about how great they are. Half the people that are on these stages that you see on TV and Facebook every day are filled with devils. But see, we don't have the distinguishing of spirits operating in our lives, so we don't know it, because all we focus on is their gift. But we've got to have this gift operating in our lives. So, here's the thing. One of the primary reasons God communicates these things is for the purpose of prayer. Now, I told you, and we talked about the gift of intercession. There's two people I want to pray for when I finish here. Some people in this room have the gift of intercession. And the gift of intercession will always function in this realm of prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Because its primary purpose is to function in prayer. So here's what a gift of intercession is. It's the ability that God gives to pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis. Why do that? That don't make you an intercessor. I'm trying to identify some intercessors in this room that really have the gift. I pray for hours, but I'm not interceding all the time. Someone who has this grace on their life, they can pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis for a particular person or issue, and they have a high track record of seeing the answer happen. You take a prayer assignment, something that you know needs to happen, and you're like a bulldog. You grab it, and you continue to press in and pray for it until you see a win and a victory in that. Now, don't you raise your hand. It's because you think I want you to. But who in here finds yourself doing that? Praying over the same thing for a long period of time until the burden lifts from you to pray for it. Raise your hand high. Because I want to pray for y'all. See, I'm trying to get you to see something. Your neighbor can't do that. The gift may not be functioning in them. But the ability to take a particular prayer assignment and focus on it until you win is a gift operating in your life. One of the reasons is somebody else that doesn't function in that probably going to quit. Well, I'm prayed for him. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you for the grub. Now lay me down to sleep. Now, here's my question to you. Last week I said something to you. I said, is God in control of the earth? Yeah. That's why I sleep at night. I can sleep good at night because I know God's in control of the earth. And then you go out to witness, and the number one thing you hear is, how could God be a good God? I've been raped. I've been molested. My whole family fell apart, and you want to tell me God's good? And what do you do? Well, he's still good. Right? What's your response to that? Okay, so when you tell them God is in control of the earth, then you're telling them, you better hear what I am telling you. When you run around spouting out that God's in control of the earth, number one, he is not. But when you say that to people, you tell them then that God wanted me molested, he wanted me raped. That's what you're telling them. They may not say it to you, but their response is, boy, that don't make me feel too good. Because what you're really telling me is he endorsed the hell that's went on in my life. He did not. God is not in control of the earth. He's not. Can you see how people are out there struggling today? Somebody is on a hangover this morning because they can't wrap their mind around how a loving God could allow them to go through these things. Now, here's what I got you to get you to see. Why do we need this prophetic anointing to pray? Because God cannot do anything he wants to in the earth. He could, but he won't. Let me show you real quickly. Why do I want to raise up people who function in the prophetic anointing? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and distinguishing of spirits. We'll never win our city any other way because we don't know who the strong man is in our city unless we get a download. You want to help people? See, we want to get people saved, but don't get them delivered. So they pray this nice little sweet little prayer, Jesus, come and live in my heart, and then they're still addicted. Because we needed to cast out the devil, but we can't cast out the devil because we don't have revelation of what devil's operating. Now watch this. God, there's healing in the room right now in a few minutes. Because there are people sitting here that your relationship with God is off because your life is hell. Your life was hell. You were molested. You were raped. You struggled. Trauma happened in your life. I come to say today there's healing for trauma. See, what Cindy told you in the prayer room, the Holy Spirit had me say. See, when you go through something traumatic, you forget that God was there. So you begin to reason in your mind, God really can't be all that loving or I wouldn't have went through this. And how you deal with trauma from a deliverance perspective, a person has to get revelation of where God was when the trauma happened. That's what she told you, unprompted. She got a revelation that when I was 2 years old and these spirits were coming after me, oh my, he was there. Now healing comes. Because you weren't going through it on your own. Now, if God is in control of the earth, why on earth do you pray? Well, I'll pray for you, brother. Why? There's not a bit of need in us praying. Let's just go to Applebee's and eat. I mean, we ain't got nothing to worry about. God's in control of the earth. I cast out the spirit of gluttony right now. I want you to think about that. Why do you pray? Praying and saying God's in control don't match. It's usually, I mean, really, that's nuts. I'll never get through this. You gonna give me a few minutes, all right? Because we got to get this. We got to pray for something. So why pray? You ever ask yourself that? That's nonsense. If God's in control, I'm going to watch TV. I'm watching Blue Bloods. I don't know what you're going to do. But that's what I'm doing. Do a whole lot of that anyway. But I'm just going to do it all the time because ain't no need for me to pray because God's in control. I'm just going to sit around, have a good old time. Do you know why the world's in the shape it's in right now? Because we think God's in control, and he's not. I'm not going to vote when election time comes. Because God's got it under control. And prayer went out of school. And babies are being murdered by the millions while you think God is in control. He's not in control. You are. So let me move quickly now. Here we go. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them rule. Who rules the earth? Let them rule over the earth, over the fish, over the birds. It says, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and cause them to subdue the earth. Kibosh is the word. Kibosh means to take things that don't want to get in line and force them to get in line. God cannot do that, will not do that in the earth. He gave the authority to kibosh to men. So if abortion's going to be gone, it's going to take some people kiboshing. God is not in control of that. He gave control to human beings. We're in control of the earth. I'm trying to get you healed today. There's healing in this room. God never pushed a button for you to have trouble in your life. The old religious mindset is, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You better. If you don't do right, God will make you sick. God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. All the songs I'm singing are real, folks. No, he's not. Your own stupidity will get you in trouble. I have a closet full of t-shirts on that, but God didn't push that button. God did not make me, he did not ordain for me to marry my first wife. I done lost some of you because now you know I'm married twice and you ain't going to come to church no more. God didn't ordain that. My stupidity did. He sent 14 red fire trucks and all kinds of red flags and I ignored them. God's not in control of the earth. He gave it to the sons of men. I'll just jump real quick. Psalm 115:16. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Now, every time I do this, I wonder how people are coming to church. Can you explain salvation? If your theory is true, there was no need for Jesus to come to earth. Why did he come to earth? He had to because God could not gain control of the earth without using a human being to do it. So he had to create a human being because that's the only way he could get authority back in the earth. And you run around worshiping Jesus and don't even know why he came. He had to become you because God gave authority to you. He gave authority to flesh and blood. He can't do what he wants to in the earth. That's why he sent Jesus. He had to be a man. Because God can't intervene in the affairs of life without a cooperation from a human. Why do you need these gifts flowing? Because you're the only one in between somebody and hell. You're the one going to determine if they go to heaven or hell. You're the one going to determine whether they have a car accident tonight or not. Whether they overdose tonight or not. Because you begin to receive revelation and he tells you word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirits so that you can begin to intervene because he can't get it done in the earth without you. Are you hearing me? This is why it's important for you to hear God. It ain't about you, baby. Somebody's life is on the line and dependent upon you being able to hear him, and he's communicating and we're ignoring it. Now watch this. It's all in God's hands. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus ain't taking no wheel, baby. No matter what he wants to do in your life, you still got to drive. He's not in control of this earth. He wants to communicate with you so he can get control in this earth. If you believe Jesus is going to take the wheel, then here's what I want you to do when you're on 460 this evening. I want you to let it go. Because he can't take it, baby, unless you let it go. You don't really believe he's going to take no wheel. Because he ain't. He's not going to do it. He gave control to you. And unless, I could preach right now. Folks, unless he finds some people to step up to the plate and do what he's called us to do in the earth, nothing is going to happen in the earth. We can pray, decree, declare, revival, harvest. Yeah, what are you doing? Oh, Lord, let harvest come. Oh, you can even rock like a Lou Engle. Oh, harvest is coming, baby. Let harvest come. It ain't coming while you are on your blessed assurance. It's time for some boots to hit the ground and begin to operate in the kingdom of God and take over this earth. We are in control of this earth. That's why it's in the shape it's in, by the way. Okay, I'll finish up. So why pray? What y'all praying for if you think God's in control? He's not. The only way he can gain control is through someone who begins to pray prophetically that he can tell them what he's getting ready to do or what he wants to do, and then we have to birth it. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Let me ask you a question. Will the will of God automatically happen in the earth? Well, it's the will of God, isn't it? You mean to tell me that even though it's God's will, I have to do something? That makes no sense. It's his will, so I'm just going to eat. Chicken, you can bank on it. Now watch this. I want to show you this. We're only 5 minutes right now past one, so get over it. Do you understand? Unless we raise up a group of people who know how to hear God, we can't change this earth because God's not in control. He's not. Now watch this. If you don't believe me, would you believe Elijah? Now I want to show you this and we'll close. 1 Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab. Now, what did God say? Now, what did he say after that? He said, I will. Really? The will of God, right? God had already told the prophet, I will send rain. So the prophet went to Applebee's to kick back and said, man, I'm glad we got through that one. God's in control. Please get the revelation. He already knows God's going to send rain. God already said I'm sending rain. What did he do? God's already said I'm going to send rain. 1 Kings 18:41, Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Elijah went up onto the top of Mount Carmel and cast himself down on the earth. He put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Well, I'm going to go back. That's all right. God's already said he's got it. No. He said, go again 7 times. God has already said, this is my will. And we see a man in the earth on his face in the birthing position. If you walked up on him, you would think he was a woman giving birth because he got in the birthing position. God's already said rain is coming. And we see Elijah up on a mountain fighting for what God's will was because God could not do it even though he wanted to do it unless he got somebody in the earth to agree with it. I tell you, prophetic anointing is to declare the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. He's already said he's sending rain. Why is he praying? Because even though it's in the heart of God to send rain, he can't send rain until somebody in the earth begins to declare that. Teach us to pray, Jesus. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What did he tell them to pray? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Even if he wanted to do it, he couldn't do it. So he taught them to pray. Whatever God wants to do, he cannot do until he finds a human to partner with it. So he told them, here's how this works. You find out what I've already ordained in heaven, and then you've got to say it because I have no authority in the earth without you. See, we've got to begin to get from God what he wants to do. Do you know what God wants to do with your family? What's the state of your unsaved loved one right now? Do you know? Have you heard God? Or are you just praying for them to be saved? Here's where I'll leave you. Good prayer, folks. Prayer that works is not based on what you say. It's based on what you hear. Because we're out there praying these prayers amiss. What we're supposed to be doing is hear what heaven says, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, spirit of prophecy, and then in the earth what we have already heard that he told us in heaven. Oh, my, my. Now, what problem you got in this room? You need to quit praying. You need to start listening. Shut up and listen. And don't pray until you've heard what to say. I'm telling you, I do the same thing you do. But 100% of the time, when I hear first and say what I heard, it is done. Every time. I can't give you one example when I said out my mouth what God told me to say about a situation that it didn't change. Why you think why you think some people's gone from this house? Because the Lord said, they got a wrong spirit, they don't belong here. I came into agreement and said, I loose them right now. Out of here. No fight, no argument, they can't stay. Because the authority that we walk in the earth is contingent upon what we've already heard in heaven.